Welcome to the Blender News Quiz. It's time for our year-ender mindbender, a brain-teasing test of current events, cultural literacy, and much, much more. And now, from Studio P10 at Radio Free Europe's world headquarters in Prague, here's your host, Grant Podelko.
Thank you, Bruce Jacobs, and hello, everybody, and welcome to the first Blender News Quiz, possibly the world's most obscure current events competition. Let me introduce you to our three unwitting contestants. First up, Brian Whitmore is an editor in the Central Newsroom who focuses on RFE's European broadcast countries. You might know him best from his popular Power Vertical blog and podcast. Welcome to the quiz, Brian.
Thank you, Grant.
Kathleen Moore is the deputy director of the Central Newsroom. Unfortunately for our other guests, she's known for knowing just about everything about anything. Welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you.
And finally, Andy Heil, an editor at RFE's English language website, rferl.org. He's probably better known as the guy behind all those occasionally informative tweets about the oceans and the environment. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you.
The questions on the Blender News Quiz are all about events that have taken place in 2011 and largely focus on RFE's broadcast region. We have four rounds. The scores are being tabulated by regular Blender host and RFE correspondent Daisy Sindelar, who also wrote the quiz questions. Hi there, Daisy.
Hi, Grant.
Okay, let's begin. The first round, general knowledge, will consist of four questions to each of our contestants in a round-robin format. 1 point is awarded for each correct answer. And I'm going to start on my left with Kathleen, and then I'll go around the table. Question number one, size matters. At least that's what a lot of countries in RFE's broadcast region think. They dedicate a lot of energy and resources to building the biggest mosque, the biggest Quran, and even the biggest flagpole. At the start of 2011, it was the Caspian Sea nation of Azerbaijan that was the proud holder of the Guinness record for the world's tallest flagpole. But that record's since been broken. By whom?
Ooh, would it be Tajikistan?
You're absolutely right, Kathleen. In August, President Emomali Rahmon received his own certificate issued by the Guinness Book of World Records, certifying that his nation now boasts the tallest flagpole. The pole, which was raised ahead of the country's 20th anniversary of independence, weighs more than 1,500 pounds and stands 541 feet, just 10 feet taller than Azerbaijan's.
I hope I get the question, who is the previous record holder?
Question number two for Brian. People around the world watched this year as the Arab Spring protests rocked the Middle East and deposed entrenched dictators like Libya's Muammar Gaddafi, Tunisia's Zine El Abidine Ben Ali, and Egyptian leader Hosni Mubarak. Mubarak's ouster prompted one of RFE's broadcast countries to hastily dispense with a large statue of the Egyptian leader. Which country was it?
I'm afraid I don't know, Greg.
No. Anybody of our...
Oh.
You don't get any points, but...
ladies first, I think.
Azerbaijan.
You're right, Kathleen, just for an extra credit point, but not for the final score. The four-year-old statue of Mubarak, located in the so-called Azerbaijan-Egyptian Friendship Park outside the capital Baku, was removed in early June. It was later replaced with a generic Egyptian figure. Question number three, Andy. The year 2011 was a difficult one for the former Prime Minister of Ukraine, Yulia Tymoshenko. She's currently in prison after receiving a 7-year sentence in October for abuse of office in a case the West says was politically motivated. During the trial that preceded her sentencing, she demonstrated her talent for new media, carrying her iPad with her to court and sending out so many tweets that they were eventually admitted as evidence. Here's one of Tymoshenko's tweets regarding the Ukrainian President Viktor Yanukovych. See if you can fill in the blanks. They are asking on Russian Twitter if there is a Yanukovych personality cult. There is a blank, but there is no blank.
There is a cult, but there is no personality.
Excellent.
Wow.
Very good, very good.
Funny one to mention.
All right, back to Kathleen. Iran is considered one of the most dangerous countries in the world when it comes to road accidents. Iran's judiciary this year ruled that compensation rates paid to families of traffic accident victims was set to double from approximately $40,000 to $80,000. That was because of soaring market rates for what local currency stand-in?
Oh, it was camels, wasn't it?
Very good.
Well done.
Memorable story.
Under Iran's interpretation of Islamic law, compensation for victims is supposed to be the equivalent of 1,000 sheep, 200 cows, or 100 camels. Judiciary officials say camel prices are the fairest way of assessing compensation, but it has been several years since the rate has been adjusted to meet skyrocketing camel prices, something that's forced the sudden doubling of cost. All right. To Brian. In Ireland, one of the most common surnames is O'Reilly. In Russia, it's Smirnov. And in Armenia, as we all know, it's Kardashian. Oh, just kidding. The name I actually had in mind was Sarkissian. I'm going to read the names of five Armenian officials whose last names are Sarkissian. Which one does not actually exist? President Serge Sarkissian, Prime Minister Tigran Sarkissian, Foreign Minister Armen Sarkissian, Presidential Chief of Staff Vigen Sarkissian, or Police Chief Alik Sarkissian?
Well, the Prime Minister exists, the President exists, and the rest is guesswork, to be honest.
Foreign Minister Armen Sarkissian, Presidential Chief of Staff Vigen Sarkissian, or Police Chief Alik Sarkissian?
I believe the Police Chief is named Sarkissian as well. That breaks it down to two. So I'm going to guess between, what is the, what's your
Number three was Foreign Minister Armen Sarkissian and Presidential Chief of Staff Vigen Sarkissian.
I believe it's Presidential Chief of Staff Vigen, but I might be wrong about that because I'm
guessing. I'm going to give you that one. You're
going to give me that one?
Wait a second. Does that mean?
This is already under
Did
protest.
Did you mean that was the one that was Sarkissian or was not Sarkissian?
I was going to say that was the one that was not Sarkissian, but
yeah,
unfortunately, it's number three. It's the foreign minister is Edward Nalbandian. So sorry, I was a little confused on that. All right, to Andy, Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin has expressed his intention to retake the presidency from Dmitry Medvedev next year, after having served as prime minister since 2008. Putin spent much of his time as prime minister engaged in high-profile stunts designed to publicize his masculinity and derring do. Which of the following was not a Putin stunt?
Shouldn't this question go to Kathleen?
Number one, recovering 6th-century Greek vases while scuba diving in the Kerch Strait. Number two, frolicking with a rescued snow leopard who will serve as one of three official mascots at the 2014 Sochi Olympics. Number three, bungee jumping from the top of a dam at a hydroelectric plant to demonstrate the solidity of repairs 2 years after a fatal accident there. Or number four, attempting to perform dental work on the governor of Belgorod.
Well, let's see. That would have been Turkmen's president with the dental work. So I'm thinking that's suspect. But let's see. It's either C or D. Bungee jumping Putin. That doesn't sound right.
That doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah,
either.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the advice of the guy who's the Russia expert, who's also missed his first two questions, and say the bungee jumping.
All right, you're absolutely right. He did not bungee jump from the dam, although now that we've suggested it, he may take it under consideration. And by the way, in a rare PR mishap, Putin's advisor Dmitry Peskov has admitted that Putin's scuba diving adventure was all staged.
By the way, you know why I knew that was wrong is because there's no dam in Russia at which 2 years has gone by without a fatal accident.
Very good. Very good. We'll add the rim shot in later. All right, back to Kathleen. In January, Sakineh Mohammadi Ashtiani, an Iranian woman jailed since 2006 and sentenced to death for the crime of adultery, received an indefinite stay of execution after international human rights groups called attention to her case. How was Ashtiani sentenced to die?
Oh, by stoning.
Exactly right. She's currently expected to remain in prison until 2016, unless she is paroled sooner. All right, back to Brian. Oh, this has to do with Russia. All too often, it seems, Russia suffers a catastrophe that calls attention to its lack of safety standards and crumbling infrastructure. This summer, an overloaded tour boat sank in the Volga River, killing more than 120 passengers. The accident prompted calls to investigate the tour company operating the 56-year-old boat, as well as its ship inspectors who declared it seaworthy. What was the name of the boat that sank?
That would be the Bulgaria.
Excellent. One point for Mr. Whitmore. He's on the board. All right, Andy. After weeks of political infighting, government officials in the Albanian-majority nation of Kosovo in April finally elected the city's deputy chief of police to serve as the country's president. Who is the country's president, and what distinguishes the president from all previous holders of that office?
Firstly, I couldn't pronounce her name, I'll bet, if I saw it in front of me.
We'll give you, if you get close, we'll give you a point.
There's a J in it.
That's correct, yes, yes.
There's an X in it.
No, no
okay,
X.
Okay, it sounds like an X. I, wow.
What about the second part of the question?
Yeah, can you get the second
part? Okay, sorry, second part. I was concentrating so hard on the first part.
What distinguishes the president from all previous holders of that office?
That she is a she.
Excellent. All right, we'll give him half a point for that. All right.
Well, I think you should just give him the point.
Should we give him the point? All right.
Wow. Well, now
he knew the J.
All right, you did get the J. Her name is Atefete Yayaga, or Yayaga. She's not only Kosovo's first female president, she's the first female head of state in all of modern-day Balkans.
Which is what I would have said if you'd asked.
All right, number 10, question 10, back to Kathleen. This year marked the 10th anniversary of the September 11th terrorist attacks on the United States. In May, the mastermind of the attack, al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden, was captured and killed in his hideout on a military compound in the Pakistani city of Abbottabad. What was the code name that U.S. Navy SEALs used to refer to bin Laden?
I know.
A code name Geronimo comes to mind, but I don't know if that was the operation or if
that was him. We'll give you that one. That was it.
It was for him?
It was for when they sighted or got...
Tell you what, let's give her a half a point for that one.
Geronimo with a J.
It's not Jeopardy. It doesn't have to be in the form of a question. Yes. It can't be in the form of a question, Kathleen, the answer.
All right, Brian. Global soccer legends Maradona and Luis Figo this year traveled to the Chechen capital, Grozny, to compete in an exhibition match pitting them against a team of players captained by the Chechen leader Ramzan Kadyrov. Who won? You were with me until the very last part of that.
Who won?
Which team? Was it the Kadyrov team or the team with Maradona and Fedor?
I would imagine it would be the team with Maradona and Fedor, but I didn't really follow it. But yeah, that makes sense because the Chechens don't really like
Kadyrov.
Kadyrov's team won.
Maradona managed to score one goal for his team, but the star-studded side of international footballers eventually lost to Kadyrov's team 5-2.
I missed that one.
He's really good.
All right, and the last question of round number one to Andy. In January, Salman Taseer, the governor of Pakistan's Punjab province, was assassinated by one of his own bodyguards. The bodyguard was angered by Taseer's opposition to Pakistan's law on what?
Blasphemy.
Excellent, excellent. Taseer, a moderate, had spoken out against Pakistan's blasphemy law, which carries a mandatory death sentence for anyone who insults Islam. And that's the end of round one. Daisy, the score, please.
Well, Grant, we have a two-way tie between Kathleen and Andy, who each have 4 points, and Brian is bringing up the rear with 1 point.
1 point,
but there are plenty of questions to come.
Yes.
I get an asterisk also for not having actually gotten one of those right.
And now round two, our language section. This round is so important that we're awarding 2 points for each correct answer. Part of RFE's mission, as you know, is to preserve minority languages from vanishing under the pressure of more dominant regional languages. We'd like to ask each of you one question about some of these minority languages. And we've asked some of our colleagues in RFE's languages services for some help to join us here. Andy?
I was afraid you'd start.
There's a common
in front of our colleagues who are specialists in this.
There's a common belief that many Russians are descended from the Golden Horde Mongol invaders that dominated Eurasia during the 14th and 15th century. The belief even prompted a famous expression credited to Napoleon, scratch a Russian, find a Tatar. So of the following three choices, how would you say scratch a Russian, find a Tatar, in Tatar? And just so I don't mangle it, we've asked Rim Gilfanov, the director of our Tatar Bashkir service, to read the three phrases for us. Rim?
Hey, nice to be here. So, here we go. The first one, Tatarını kırıp karasan Urus kilip şığa. Second option, Urusını kırıp karasan Tatar kilip şığa.
Just wink on the
and
question.
Final one, Tatarını kırıp matashma, aşığına şığarasın.
You looked at the paper on that third one, so I'm gonna move that one off. I'm gonna say the first one just came a little too easy. I'm gonna go with number two.
I think it's B too as well.
Yeah.
And I actually don't know which one of those.
Kathleen, if you had to hazard a guess, what would you say?
I'd say B.
Just to be different, I'll go for A.
Well, you are wrong in this case.
B is the correct answer?
Right. Yeah.
B. And what did A and C actually mean?
It's quite like the A, quite opposite.
Oh, okay.
If you scratch
Yeah, that's what it's
Tatar, you will find Russian. And third one is, don't scratch the Tatar. It will only make him angry.
I caught the negative in that one, Rim. I caught the negative, so I didn't go with it.
All right. Question number two for Brian. As you know, RFE broadcasts to the North Caucasus in three local languages, Avar, Chechen, and Circassian. We've brought in the director of RFE's North Caucasus service, Aslan Dukayev, to read this famous North Caucasus saying, and I'll read it in English. Take no steps before you look in front of you. Utter no word before you look behind you. And now he will say it in one of the three languages, and you have to guess whether he's saying in Avar, Chechen, or Circassian.
Well, Brian, listen very carefully. You're going to enjoy that.
Okay.
Tseve vahal hich ogo gale gil hoge, nake urich ogo raige ubugi.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, catch a language by the toe. I'm going to say Avar.
Is he right?
He got it right.
No way.
Fantastic.
That was a lucky guess. Just
that was
truth
a really lucky guess. Wow. But congratulations.
And while you're here, can you say the same expression now in Chechen?
Hal hajaz kwag mabak, ti hajaz dwashma'al. And if you're interested, I can also say it in Circassian. Ipache wime pleo, lebek wimish, wuzache mu pleo, gush e kamish.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Aslan. Appreciate it.
Well done, Brian. Would you have gotten either of the other two?
Are you kidding me? I'm surprised I got that one.
Did you see the look on our faces?
All right. Kathleen.
Yes.
RFE's Belarus service has made the preservation of its national language part of its broadcasting mission. This has resulted in some very tricky transliteration rules for those of us in the English language department, mm-hmm. as names that sound very similar to Russian names are sometimes spelled in unpredictable ways. For example, we have adopted the Belarusian spelling of the name of the country's president, Alexander Lukashenko, even though he famously chooses to speak Russian rather than Belarusian. I won't get into it. I know it involves a lot of Y's and K's. But let's take it one step further. How would you spell the name of Lukashenko's arch nemesis, Vladimir Putin, if it was translated into Belarusian and then transliterated into Latin letters?
Ooh, okay. Vladimir would become... Can I write?
Sure, yeah, definitely.
Vladimir. Okay, I'm going to guess U-L-A-D-Z-I... M-E-R.
Okay, and the last, Putin?
Putin?
She said Zed. That doesn't count.
Okay, let's see. I don't know. Would it be a T-S, you think?
I don't know. I would guess Putin wouldn't change.
Just to make it tough, I would guess Putin would change, Kathleen.
Yeah. let's give her a point for that, because it is T.S.
Putin.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. Well done.
I'm sorry, Grant, but I believe that Uladzimir was spelled I-R.
Well.
I'm completely impressed.
As the host, I'm going to give her a point for that.
I think the fix is in here.
Is there any objections from the
But was it T-S-I-N? You should have, yeah?
T-S-I-N, right.
We just
right.
need to make sure Brian doesn't win this thing, don't we?
All right, that's
not
the
a
end
chance of that.
Of round two. Daisy, the score after two rounds?
Well, it remains a nail-biter, Grant. We still have a two-way tie between Kathleen and Andy, who have 6 points each, and Brian is catching up. He's got 3 points.
Excellent. Okay.
Look out. Here I come.
Yep. All right. This could be your round,
Next question's
Brian.
Worth 10 points anyway.
All right. For round three, we've assembled some offbeat audio clips from the past year. Each correct answer is worth 1 point.
Just one?
First to Kathleen. You've all been pretty busy this year, so you might not have had time to watch 5 Days of War, the movie by Hollywood director Rennie Harland about the 2008 Russia-Georgia conflict. Turns out you probably didn't miss much. One reviewer referred to it as a popcorn movie for people itching to hate Russians again. Another compared the American actors' accents in the film to the Cold War animated spies Boris and Natasha from the old Rocky and Bullwinkle cartoons.
Well, Natasha, we stopped those two busybodies cold. Now on to the hardest part of Finnish plan.
And that is?
We're going to take Washington.
Darling, that's not hard.
No.
Look at headline.
Boston takes Washington 7-2.
Anybody can take Washington.
Well, let's test that theory. Here's a short scene from the movie.
There is some good news. The EU ministers have finally agreed to an emergency meeting.
Oh, thank you, EU. An emergency meeting. Oh, let's bring cocktails, champagne, let's celebrate. Meetings, more meetings, and more meetings. No more meetings. Every time some people sit at meetings, more of our people die.
Was that, okay. Was that other guy, Nenad Page, our associate director?
Okay, Kathleen, who is the official portrayed in that scene, and who is the actor who's playing him?
Oh, that was one of my favorite clips from this last year. Yeah, that's Andy Garcia playing Mikhail Saakashvili, right?
Excellent, excellent. All right. All right, Brian, this is right up your alley, Brian, coincidentally, because I know you're a follower of U.S. politics. Former U.S. presidential hopeful Herman Cain made a lot of headlines this year, but not always for the right reasons. In October, he caught our attention with this colorful response when asked if he could name the president of Uzbekistan.
When they ask me who's the president of Uzbekistan, I'm going to say, you know, I don't know. Do you know? And then I'm going to say, how's that going to create one job?
Don't ask me the context he said that.
No.
jobs context.
Cain, as you know, Brian, has dropped out of the race since then. But assuming he had stayed in and assuming he knew them, how would Cain pronounce the other four remaining Central Asian nations besides Uzbekistan?
You mean like Kazakhstan and Turkmenistan and what am I missing?
No help from us.
Kyrgyzia and what am I missing? I got Turkmenistan. I got Uzbekistan. Tajikistan, yeah.
All right. Well, to be honest, Brian, we weren't really paying attention. We just wanted to hear you say all those crazy. Well, we'll give you a point for that. You got a little bit of extra help there at the end, though.
I would have thought of it.
All right. One more question for Andy. Azerbaijan is beginning to make a name for itself as a pop music stalwart. It famously won the Eurovision Song Contest in May with its song Running Scared. And in January, pop diva Egun Kazimova earned accolades with this slick little number. So,
too easy, Grant. Too
what
easy.
Was this song about, Andy?
Gasoline. Petrol.
We'll give it to you. Yeah, no. Oil. Gasoline,
and,
yep.
And because I'm an honest contestant, I'm going to tell you I had no idea, but it's on the computer monitor in front of me.
Well, for being...
I would not have gotten that. No way. Not a chance. Not a chance.
For your honesty and your mischievousness, we'll give you a point for that one. Azerbaijan is one of the Caspian region's prime producers of oil and natural gas, a status that Kazimova's song Petrol celebrates with lines like, "Oh, Petrol, give the power to my engine, and my country's speed is growing."
You said so. PG. This thing is PG.
So that's the end of the third round. And now for the final and all-important lightning round. 8 questions each in rapid-fire succession.
Yikes.
Each correct answer is worth 1 point. Daisy, can you give us the scores through the first 3 rounds, please?
Yeah, someone's going to have to get an answer wrong soon because we remain locked in a dramatic 2-way tie, 7 points each for Kathleen and Andy, and Brian with a respectable 4 points.
All right, excellent. So we'll start with Brian.
But I was serious. I wouldn't have gotten that Eurovision contest song right.
But it proves you can read, Andy.
Is that right? Oh, no, that's the end of the clues. Okay, here we go, Brian. 8 questions, rapid fire.
Uh-huh.
Hockey fans around the world were in mourning this September after a plane crash killed 36 top-ranking hockey players and coaching staff from what Russian club?
Yaroslavl.
Who is claiming victory as de facto president of the breakaway Georgian region of South Ossetia?
Julaeva.
The American actress Hilary Swank recently fired her manager after an ill-advised appearance at the birthday of which controversial
Razman
leader?
Razman Kadyrov.
Name in quick succession the former and current presidents of Turkmenistan.
I can't do that. I can't pronounce the names. I can never. It's Turkmenbashi was his.
Yeah, what was his real name?
Don't. Begins with a B. And I'm not even going to try.
It sounds like if he says enough stuff, something's going to sound like the right
it
answer.
It starts with a B.
Sepher Mirat Niyazov.
Yeah.
And the current leader is Gurban Guly Berdi Mukhametov. Yeah. All right. Question five.
Do I get any points for Turkmenbashi?
This Russian spy turned Moscow it girl began the year 2011 with a new television program dedicated to solving the world's most complicated mysteries, and was recently voted the third sexiest woman in Russian politics.
Who is Anna Chapman?
The American talk show host Chelsea Handler this year drew the anger of what Balkan nation after she suggested
Serbia.
Its officials had never heard of Facebook and referred to the country as a disappointment. Serbia is correct. Bosnia this summer became the 122nd country to host this fast food restaurant.
McDonald's.
Correct. And number eight, deteriorating U.S. relations with Pakistan have prompted speculation that this Central Asian nation may become the next key land route into Afghanistan.
I know this. Tajikistan.
Uzbekistan.
Uzbekistan. Okay, close enough.
And so, Daisy, how many questions did Brian get right?
Brian got 6 correct out of 8, raising his total to 10 points.
All right.
Here I come, guys. Look
all right.
Out.
So, here we
Are
go.
Are there more rounds, or can I wager everything on this lightning round?
We'll go next with Kathleen. So how many questions does she need to overtake?
Well, with 7 points, Kathleen would need 3 to tie, 4 to win.
Okay. All right. Here goes, Kathleen. You ready? Georgian billionaire and opposition politician Bidzina Ivanishvili has said which country is to blame for starting the 2008 war over the breakaway region of South Ossetia?
Ooh, Georgia?
Correct. David Hallberg became the first American dancer to join this historic Russian ballet ensemble.
Oh, the Bolshoi.
The world's largest Quran, the Muslim holy book, was recently unveiled in which Russian republic?
Tatarstan.
Ukraine in April marked the 25th anniversary of what man-made disaster?
20th. Wait a minute.
The 25th anniversary.
25th. Okay. Chernobyl?
Yes.
She should have to pause and act like she has to think about this.
20.
Which was the 20th.
Which two former Warsaw Pact countries held this year's rotating presidency of the European Union?
Poland. Who was before that? Hungary.
Correct.
Phew.
In January, Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan ordered the demolition of a friendship statue designed to improve relations with which neighboring country?
Armenia.
In memoirs published this year, which former U.S. Defense Secretary defended the country's decision to invade Iraq in 2003?
Donald Rumsfeld.
Yes. And the final question, the Central Asian nation of Kyrgyzstan this year witnessed its first peaceful transfer of power in its 20 years of independence. What was the name of the outgoing president and who has stepped in as her or his replacement?
Okay, outgoing was Roza Otunbayeva and incoming, Atambayev, Almazbek Atambayev.
Correct. Excellent.
Damn. I think we
what
know
did
one.
She, how many questions?
Do I have to get right?
8 for 8.
Kathleen had a perfect score with 8 points, which brings her to 15 points.
Okay, and how about Andy?
Andy would need to do perfectly as well.
All right.
To tie.
Mm. All right, Andy. You ready?
I hate ties, so that's not doesn't mean I'm going to kick one of these. I'm not punting, but if I miss one,
Kathleen,
you're welcome.
Mark Grossman was named as America's special envoy to Afghanistan and Pakistan, replacing which career diplomat who died suddenly last December?
Holbrooke.
Yes, this year, Richard Holbrooke. This year, police in Serbia arrested a 69-year-old man in a small village going by the name of Milorad Komadic. What was his real name?
Ratko Mladic.
Correct, the former Bosnian Serb military commander. He was arrested after 16 years on the run and is facing charges of genocide and war crimes. This year marked the 100th anniversary of International Women's Day, which in its current incarnation is celebrated on what day?
This is the hardest question.
Do you love your wife?
I know.
It's my wife's birthday, actually.
2 days after mine.
Is that right?
Yeah, whatever day that is.
Wait, is this supposed to be a lightning round?
Yeah,
okay,
it's okay.
It's 2 days after my birthday, Andy.
Okay, that would be like October 17th.
You give up? March 8th.
March 8th.
Protests by hardliners.
Oh, geez, that one. That day.
Protests by hardliners forced this former Iranian president to step down from his post as chairman of the Assembly of Experts in March.
Rafsanjani.
Yes, excellent. According to Forbes magazine's annual rich list, which country currently boasts the most billionaires in the world?
Russia.
Correct. Prosecutors in Ukraine this year opened a criminal investigation against former President Leonid Kuchma for his suspected role in the 2000 kidnapping and murder of this independent journalist.
Hayori Gongadze.
Excellent. The world this year marked the 50th anniversary of the day Soviet cosmonaut Yuri Gagarin became the first human to travel into space. What did Gagarin famously shout as the engines of his Vostok 1 spacecraft prepared for takeoff?
In Russian.
Nyet. I don't know.
In Russian, it's Poyekali.
Yeah, let's go, right?
Let's
All
go.
Right. And final question. The Afghan Ministry of Justice this year sparked outrage in Kabul when it proposed a law that would require Afghans to observe Sharia law standards of modest dress at what events?
Can you ask that again?
Yep.
I know that's not very lightning.
The Afghan Ministry of Justice this year sparked outrage in Kabul when it proposed a law that would require Afghans to observe Sharia law standards of modest dress at what type of events?
Sports events.
No. Weddings.
Did I beat Brian?
Yes.
That's all I want to know.
Yes, he did. I was counting.
Daisy, the final scores?
Well, Andy got 5 points out of 8, although I think he should get a point for the niet, just for cleverness. But that leaves him with...
But then we should take the point away from the cheating that he...
Those are 2 points. <I think.
laughs> It's getting too complicated. So Andy finished with 11 points, which means he does beat Brian, who finished with 10. But our champion is Kathleen Moore with 15 points.
Woo-hoo! And Kathleen, for your prize, you get to go back to your desk and keep editing.
Wonderful.
Thanks
to all the tough assignments now.
Thanks to all of our players, to Daisy Sindelar for keeping score and writing down the questions. Writing the questions, actually, authoring the questions. And
thanks for writing them down, though.
And Tanya Kancheva at the control board here in Studio P10. We hope you enjoyed playing along with the Blender News Quiz 2011 edition. Until next year, this is Grant Padalko for the entire Blender team saying so long.
Bye.